Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello and welcome to episode 114 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my co-patriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. Hey, dude, what's up?
Hey, happy holidays. It's you look festive, Kyle.
Feeling festive.
Yeah, I like the sweater, the hat.
Just exuding for me.
Yeah, you are looking fine.
Ho, 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 the heck are you?
I'm good. And not to waste any more time here, we have a guest, a special guest, a first-time co-host.
Co-ho-ho-host.
See what I did there? And that is the voice of the one and only Scott DeLuzio. Say hi, Scott.
Yay.
Hi, Scott.
Yay. So good to have you here. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so it's, we were just getting tired of that guy named Dustin. No, I'm kidding. No. We wanted to, you know, we like to bring people on from time to time. And we're like, you know what? Scott is going to be awesome on this show. So,
I thought I was sort of auditioning for Kyle's role on the show. But well, apparently he's here. So that's not.
So really, actually,
this is awkward.
You might be. Huh. Stranger things have happened. Yeah. I mean, season three. Anyway. Okay, so thank you. Hey, Kyle, real quick, what's going on with you in life? What's happening? What's the update this week?
Oh, so much good stuff, man. This is a season of just like wonderful, magical goodness. I've got Slack closed for the whole time, which is why I wasn't responding to like your guys' Slack messages. I haven't opened my email, not looking at anything except for some little passion projects and my beautiful little daughter. But right after we're done recording this podcast, I'm going to head over to a nearby like a retirement community for senior citizens, and me and the rest of the band are going to play some music for them and try and bring some holiday cheer to some of these fine folks nearby, which funny enough is kind of how I got my start playing music and performing at all the nursing homes around this county with my grandpa when I was a teenager.
Very cool. That's nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, the holidays are cool. I mean, I see certain movies and certain things and I always tear up. You know, it's kind of awkward. You know, do you ever cry when you see certain movies for specifically holiday movies like Die Hard?
It's an emotional ride.
It
that's
is
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Actually, quick question. So is Die Hard
for Hans Gruber?
Yeah. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? In your opinion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Just because if either one of you said no, I could just mute you the rest of the show.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. Good. Scott, what's new with you? What's going on?
Well, I've been hanging out with the kids. They've been off for school for a week already, and they have another week to go.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
The Christmas break here. So we had a visitor from out of town, my wife's college friend, who actually lives in Japan. She came to visit for a week. She's still here for a couple more days. And then a couple days from after she leaves, my cousins from California will be coming into town. So we have a busy couple weeks of people coming in and out and everything, family and friends and things like that.
Nice.
So it's going to be a busy week, but it's fun too.
Yes. You know, and for those who don't know, You're in Arizona. You're based in Arizona, right?
Yeah.
When you said you were having a visitor from out of town, I thought for sure you were going to say Santa Claus stopped by.
Well, I think that went without saying that Santa Claus came to town and.
Yeah, I'm not sure he visited every household, only those who were nice. Yeah,
he skipped us, but Hanukkah Harry has been here like for six nights in a row now.
Hanukkah Harry?
Yeah, that's what we call him. The funny thing is, like, all the gifts I've gotten, they've all been wrapped by somebody else, but I order them all. it's like years ago, I remember with Carson, I forgot what I had ordered for myself. I honestly don't remember. And, I know what it was that lens mug. Remember the one I used to?
Oh, yeah. They show me all the time.
Yeah. It's the Canon lens, but it's a coffee mug. And I get it. I'm like, oh, sweet. This is great. Thanks, guys. And it said from the kids. And Carson's like, he must have been six. Like, we didn't get that for you, Dad. He didn't quite get it. So,
yeah.
So, anyway. Awesome.
You could.
Yeah, actually, I have a visitor. My little update is my sister-in-law is visiting. She got here yesterday from the time of this recording. She's leaving like in a day, which is, I wish she could stay so much longer in case she hears us through the other wall. my son turned 17, middle kid turned 17 just yesterday. So happy birthday to Parker. And the dog, we still have a dog. So he's still here.
He is still there. Yeah. Charming little pup.
He is. He's a handful in one aspect. He's super sweet, super nice, you know, mellow in the house. Outside, likes to pull. He's just working on that training aspect and the whole crate training thing. We're still kind of trying to get him used to that. 5 years old, so trying to get him used to being alone a little bit from time to time. So, you know, yeah, that's the update here. So, yeah, you know, let's we'll move over to... We're cruising along. I'm going to start. I'm wearing an ATO. I'm actually not wearing WordPress today. I'm wearing All Things Open Conference 2018 shirt. I am drinking coffee in a WordCamp Orange County 2014 mug. And I'm still reading, almost done with in that book called Invested, How Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger Taught Me the Master of My Money, yada, yada. Link in the show notes. So that's my story. What do you got, Kyle?
Right now, I am wearing a WordCamp Miami 2017 t-shirt underneath my festive Christmas sweater, and I also have on some SiteGround socks.
Are those mine, too?
On
are those my SiteGround socks?
Juice. No, they're not your SiteGround socks. You have, anyway, no, they're not.
Okay.
They're mine. Sipping on some orange juice, and I'm reading a Star Wars book, the second book in the Darth Bane series. It's called The Rule of Two.
Nice. How is that?
It's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, the series is good enough for me to continue reading it.
Cool. Scott, what do you got?
I am wearing a WordCamp US 2019 t-shirt with a WordCamp Phoenix 2019 hoodie and GoDaddy socks.
Wow. You're all decked out.
I am. And I'm drinking tea and actually water in a WordCamp Denver water bottle. And I'm reading Harry Potter. No,
so good. So good.
Come on.
I was waiting for that.
I had to say that. Yeah. No, actually, I'm reading a book called Extreme Ownership by Navy SEALs who wrote the book called Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. Basically, the book's about the principles of leadership that are used in the Navy SEALs and teaches some of those principles through the stories from the deployments to Iraq and other missions that the authors went through. And then relating it to principles that might apply to the civilian world in, you know, a business or things like that. So
yeah.
Sounds interesting. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it is. It's actually a really, really good book. I highly recommend it.
Okay. Cool. Well, that is that. And now it's time for, hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Dude, come on, give me a break. I'm on vacation. I shouldn't have to deal with hard questions like this. I'm gonna check with my buddy Scott, see if he knows what time it is. Scott,
I'm gonna go with questions.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, right on. I like this guy. Woo! That's right. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you guys ready? Scott, are you ready? Are you excited?
Yeah.
6 seconds, and we're almost done with the little bumper. And there we go. All right. First question. Actually, because we have a guest, we're actually going to do one question and two segments this week. So I actually, Kyle, you want to ask the first question? The first question of the show
comes to us from Sarah Fun. Ooh. And Sarah asks, what is your advice for how to get some of your first website projects if you're just getting started building WordPress sites?
Ooh. So I think we should give the floor to Scott as a guest. He can give the first option. If he has more than one, that's great. But he'll start with option one. What do you think?
Take it away, Scott. Yeah.
Sure. So my first option, I do have a couple options here. But the first option, take a look at local business websites in your area and find the worst of all of them.
I'm so happy you went this way.
Get the top 10 worst sites in your area. Forget about what type of sites. Don't focus on a specific niche like landscapers or mechanics or doctors, lawyers, anything like that. The niche that you're focusing on is terrible websites. All right. And so next, go into those businesses, like their physical location. Walk into the business and ask to speak to the manager or the owner. If you happen to pick out a church, like talk to the priest or, you know, a rabbi or something like that.
Yeah.
Then tell them how terrible of a person they are for neglecting their website and letting it look so bad. Tell them how much of a disservice it is to the community. And be ruthless with these accusations. The guilt is going to eat them up inside. Right? They'll absolutely beg you to fix their website for them. And it's simple psychology, really.
Yeah.
No one wants to be known as a terrible person in their community. And you're the solution to that problem. So they're pretty much guaranteed to hand over cash right on the spot.
It's impressive.
How could it fail?
That's impressive. Yeah. I mean, I think that is a great option. Well,
it's genius.
It's an option. It is an option. I don't know if it's
great. Answered the question. Like, let's move on.
Well, I have an option as well. Do you have any, Kyle?
You go ahead.
Okay.
Please.
So I only have really one option for Seraphon. So it's way too easy for me, someone like me, or to say in the past, you know, say Fiverr or Craigslist to find those first website projects, or even to go to a local meetup or your join a BNI group or a meeting, right? So with that said, I just say skip the first project and move to the last project. Pulling from the playbook of Kyle, aka client work is not worth it. Don't take clients whatsoever. That's right. Create something on your own that you can sell directly to others. You become your own client, and with that, you'll care way more about your own project, 100x more, matter of fact. And you'll put more time into it and more effort into it, and your actual clients will never become your clients because you don't care about them or their projects. So yeah, get started with doing WordPress for yourself. Build something that you can sell. And ideally, it's something that you can use EDD for. Don't forget to use kitchensinkwp.com/EDD for your purchase.
Wow. What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Client work in 2020 is not where it's at.
Okay.
That's an option.
It's actually a great option. I'm taking notes here. I'm inspired.
And just went through puberty, apparently.
All right. Well, man, like what if that would have been my answer? But okay, I've got an idea though.
What do you
Here's
got?
The thing. Here's the thing. Listen up, you guys. I've got some input on this topic. I'm being totally serious here too. All right. By the standards of all established professionals who are making their living building websites, you are going to lose big time on basically every project for your first year, maybe more. All right. This is just a reality to accept. Don't go in super naive like we all did when we got started and thinking you're just going to be, you know, raking in cash. Because you figured out how to install WordPress. You will be making a terrible wage and spending an inordinate amount of time on your early projects because you'll be learning everything on the job. You will be grossly underestimating the amount of work involved every single time, and it will take you longer to figure things out than you expect in most instances. You will also very likely make costly mistakes that you have to clean up after. Like the time that I took out an entire real estate company's email and took it offline for a couple days. And let me tell you, they were ready to burn my house down by the time I fixed the problem. Those projects that you take on in the beginning when you're getting started are going to be a source of stress. And they will not replace your previous wages. And you will not be appreciated by the client, no matter how little you charge. Sounds pretty negative, right? But there's a secret solution to all these problems. Are you ready for it?
We're ready. Hit us.
Okay. It's not what you think. The secret solution is you pay them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, turn it all on its head. All right. You offer local businesses a small amount of money in exchange for letting you build their website.
I
think this is a radical adjustment, but it will not affect your finances significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of us started our project, like the first things you ever built, the first projects that you took money for. What? How much money did you charge? Come on. I mean, I charged like a few hundred dollars probably for a variety of projects when I was getting started and doing this on the side. You guys probably have similar stories.
I started at 25,000.
Well, you're an exception to the rule.
Okay.
As you are in all aspects of life.
Clearly. Go on.
Pennies. 25,000 pennies.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, what's the big difference in the grand scheme of things? You spend months of your life stressing about a $300 project. So if you decided you were going to pay the client, you offered them a couple hundred dollars for the right to build the website. It's a swing of still just hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
This is not life altering. But if you can't finish the project because something better comes along, you're only out a little bit of money. It's not a disaster. The ties are quite different. It radically alters the relationship that you have with the client. And that's important because those early clients really kind of are the foundation that you build your venture on top of. And you get experience in a portfolio piece through the process. And you might accelerate this sales process that you're likely not very experienced in. So if you go in saying, I'm just looking for an opportunity to build something for a local business and hone my skills, and I'm willing to pay you, you will probably be closing deals a little faster.
Hmm. Yeah.
This is my radical proposal. It's actually a serious one.
Yeah, I think it's called radical web building for dummies.
Or geniuses.
Yeah.
See, I thought the radical part, the thing that we wouldn't have expected, was you're going to say use Squarespace or something and not just
again,
give up on WordPress altogether.
Too easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's really using WordPress and making money on it these days anymore? You know, I mean, it's so saturated.
My buddy Matt does.
Oh, yeah. Matt LeBlanc.
And Matthew Perry. We're both tight. All three of us are really tight. Yeah.
And McConaughey.
Yeah. All right. So, Scott, you said you had another option?
Yeah. Another option, which is semi a serious option, is
that's good. It's good.
Some light social media stalking. And by that, I mean do some like keyword searches or set up like a filter where you get notifications whenever someone's searching for certain things like WordPress help or a slow WordPress website or things like, do I really need Jetpack? You know, things like that. And then when someone posts those things, you'll get a notice that they have that problem that you can then respond to that, you know, you can fix it for them or, you know, uninstall Jetpack or whatever the case may be. I actually, when I first started building websites, I did do something similar to this. And one of my first clients I got this way, and that client ended up turning out to be pretty well connected and referred quite a bit more work to me down the road. Yeah. So
I know people. I know people have done that.
Efficient way to do things in the beginning, but if you have no other work coming in, it doesn't hurt to set up a filter and just respond to messages every now and again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, true story. Dustin did that. You know, when he first started his small agency, back in the day, he had some keywords on, you know, WordPress and support, and he would just answer people's questions on Twitter, you know, and then eventually move them over to, you know, either an email exchange or a DM. Yeah. That's how he built up a little bit. Yeah. It works. Yeah, that's actually a good option. I think that is a good option. There's a lot of noise out there, and that's the problem. It's like, who do you listen to? If someone answers your question without any expectation of payment as a starting point, it can build that relationship. And truth be told, you know, as funny or as awkward as our other options might have been, I think actually giving without expectation of return to start is a great way to start. You get the experience, you build trust, and, you know, as we all know, people will do business with people they know, like, and trust, right?
Right.
You can't force it. Yeah. You can't really force it in WordPress. I remember knowing this also from when I first started in the community. You know, desperation reeks. You know, it's like dog sense fear. You know, if you're desperate for work, you know, in the WordPress community, it's hard to get that. Business to business sales, totally different story. That you can go all out, you know, but it takes time to build up, you know, character, trust, all those things. So.
Yeah. Oh, it's so important. Like the dynamic between you and the client, I absolutely know the difference between engaging in a relationship where it was obvious to everyone involved who had the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on both sides. like where I've been in relationships where everybody knew, including the client, that I was lucky to be working with that client. And that was their attitude. They knew that this contract was a big deal to me and that I was willing to go to great lengths to obtain or retain this contract, and that they absolutely had the upper hand and losing me was not a big deal. I've been in those kinds of arrangements. I've also been in the opposite, basically, where the client felt as though they were lucky to get to work with us for some reason. For, you know, they had a perception of me and our agency that, like, we were a great fit. We had, like, exactly the skills and experience that they needed to solve the aching problems they had. And they thought we were respected, and they were willing to go to great lengths to work with us. And we had other contracts that we could move on to if it didn't work out. So I've been in both sides, and you obviously want to work towards the latter.
Right.
And being a little bit too desperate and needy and making all kinds of concessions in the early days isn't the best path to setting yourself up for being that more respected party. But at the same time, like, you have to, there's only one way to get anywhere. And that's, like, by doing the work, doing real work. You have to get jobs.
Right. That's true. Yeah. I mean, it's always nice to be able to say no to somebody. I mean, it's that role, but instead of having to say yes and then being frustrated later because you took a lower paying project, you say yes to everything. You have to say no to something else. You know, you have to feel confident in that. I just said no. I mean, I've told you both. I mean, recently I told you, Kyle, we said no to a project 2 weeks ago. Client wasn't happy about it. We did the proposal, did a little scope. And at the end of the day, she opened the door to us walking away. I'm like, yeah, so we walked away. It wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Could have been happier, you know.
I had another thought when you're talking about the filters, and that's the, like, the landscape is different than it was years ago. Like, I don't know how many years it's been since you started, Scott, but, like, Dustin started doing this quite a lot of years ago, and me too, sort mm-hmm. of. So, like, however long it was ago, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, right, when some of us were building early WordPress sites, like, the space was not as, the WordPress scene was not as big as it is, obviously, not right, like, even close to as big.
Right.
So
right,
I think that the volume of like requests for WordPress help back in those days, it was a fraction of what it is today. And I actually believe that there are, like, subsets within WordPress today which are as large as entire WordPress was back then.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be, like, just as many requests for, like, Divi, Beaver Builder, LearnDash, BuddyPress, yep, WooCommerce help on the web today as you would see for all of WordPress when we were getting started.
Yeah, so many more segments, so many more.
So you could, mm-hmm, like, you could pick a segment
and specialize there.
And specialize, and there would be ample requests,
mm-hmm,
more than enough.
Like I said before, you focus on the terrible websites as
right,
as
I really like, I like
so simple.
I really like the, not just focusing on the terrible websites, but focusing on terrible religious based and then making them feel bad about it.
Exactly.
That, to me, that's where you're going to score.
The guilt thing. The guilt. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really where it's at. Yeah.
Right. You're turning away the flock.
Well, I mean, and actually, if you go to them on a Sunday afternoon after the church, the service, you know, the collection plates are full.
Right. So they can clearly afford it right now.
Flush with cash.
You know, and then you could also, if you don't sign this contract now, you may be, you know, on my new website, you know, Scott's, you know, shame on you on your website.com or shamefulwebsites.com, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you'll go up on the wall of shame, and
right,
the
you
only way
that
to take it down is by, you know, signing this contract.
There you go. Okay. Cool. So that's the only question we have this week. We are going to do segments now. Yeah? How's that sound? Sound good?
All right, sure.
Did you want to do something else? You have another ad on there?
No, it's not good.
Are you sure? Don't make me come up there and smack you.
Were any of these really good, that good?
Oh, they're fantastic. All right, so segment one is...
It's time for the personal question.
Oh, personal question time. Okay, who's going to go first here? Do you have an order? Oh, Oh, we both get to ask God a personal question. That's right.
Right, right.
He doesn't get to ask us.
This show, I'm on been tuning for a while, have heard Adam and I answer lots of personal questions. They know all about our kids, our career aspirations, our families, our highs and lows of our life. Listeners just know all about us, but listeners of this show may not know a whole lot about Scott.
Right.
So we're putting you on the hot seat twice.
So I actually have two technically, but I have an easy one and not so easy one.
Well, let me go first, okay. And then you can decide which one you're going to hit Scott with.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Scott. In a video you posted last year, about a year ago, you talked about, wonderfully, in a video I thought was really nice and worth everybody should watch it, take some inspiration from, you talked about getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You remember doing that?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember specifically the day and time that I was recording, but I do remember the message generally.
It was November of 2018 anyway. But I loved the message. And you talked about, in that video, sticking to things through and through. And I found myself wondering, have you, Scott, ever had an experience which was counter to that point? By that, I mean, have you ever stuck to something longer than you should have and looking back realize you should have stopped sooner?
Actually, going back to the question that we were talking about, you know, building WordPress sites for clients. For people who don't know what I do, I build WordPress plugins now. And I don't do any client work. I don't build sites for clients at all now. And I stuck with that way longer than I think I should have.
You used to build client sites.
Yeah. I used to. Yeah. I was building them for a period of time. And then it was just wearing on me, following up with the clients and working with them. It just was not something that I enjoyed doing, but I just continued doing because God, I don't know why. I don't know why I continued doing what I was doing. But one day I just decided I need to kind of make a clean break from it. And it was a couple of years ago, I just decided that's it. The last client that I'm working on now is going to be the last client that I work on. And I transitioned 100% over to plugin work. And I haven't looked back since. So
that's amazing.
To that point, yeah, I've definitely stuck with things too long, but sometimes sticking with things is a good thing too, because you might get over a hurdle. You know, you might feel like you're just treading water and you're not really making any progress. But if you stick with it, you might gain some momentum and pick up some speed too. But that wasn't really the case in my client work situation. So.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah, very wise words and good insight. Thank you, Scott.
All right, cool. All right, so yeah, I'm still going to ask both of mine.
Okay, go ahead.
One of them is simple. Boxers or briefs? I'm just kidding. No, don't answer that. That was one. That was obvious. Okay, so so those who also may not know you, you served in the military.
Yes.
Thank you for that. And to on the personal question here, what was the reason that you chose to serve in the military, and would you do it again knowing what you know now about serving in the military?
So when I was a kid, I was just brought up to respect the military and, you know, looked up to the military. My parents were not, never served in the military, but my grandfather was in World War II. He was in the Navy. And so we just, you know, grew up with having respect for the military. And it was just something that I remember when I was a kid, we went to an Air Force base when the soldiers were returning from Desert Storm and seeing all of them. And, after watching the movies with these soldiers and then seeing like the real life soldiers coming in, and it was kind of like, those, almost like if other kids would go to see a baseball game and see their, baseball, hero or whatever. It was kind of like that. So, after 9/11 happened, I sort of felt like I needed to join the military. When I joined, it was at a time when the Army recruiting numbers were at a low, and they were not hitting their goals, and that sort of ticked me off. And I I decided that I needed to do something about that. And mm-hmm. I said, I'm young enough, I'm fit enough, I'm able to do this. So why not me? And so I joined. My brother joined about a year before I did. And so that also was a little bit of a push for me to join as well. I sort of knew what to expect a little bit from mm-hmm. the military just by hearing, through his experience of going through basic training and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I knew that stuff wouldn't be easy, but I had a better idea of what it was all about. And would I do it again, knowing all that I know? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change any of it.
Cool. Well, thank you for your service. And thanks for sharing. Awesome. Okay. So moving on now to something lighter. Sorry.
Scott gave a great talk at Pressnomics a few years ago about, like, it was a lightning talk about his
that's right.
Experience in serving and some reflections after that. And it was a really moving talk. I wanted to let you know that, like, that was a memorable presentation that has stuck with me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Unordered list.
If I count ink, I don't know.
You jerk.
Flux capacitor.
Oh my gosh, what's your name? All right, this is the segment where we play a little game where we ask, Kyle's going to ask me, I'm going to ask Scott, Scott's going to ask Kyle, to name as many something in a category as you can in 30 seconds or less. I have a timer that I'll go.
So you guys are going down. Going down.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to have to just watch the audio levels on this one just because in the past sometimes they overlap. So I'll just be careful here. All right. So Kyle, you're about to ask me. You ready? Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Yes. All right, Adam.
I'm scared.
In 30 seconds. Name as many programming languages as you can.
Basic, Pascal, Fortran, C, C Sharp, HTML, CSS, PHP, Java, Python, what else? Why can't I think? Logo, and go with assembly. Nice, not bad. 12.
Wow, that was 12.
Yeah,
I'm really impressed.
Thanks.
Good job.
Thank you.
Have I asked you that one before?
I don't think so. I'm just, okay. I mean, I probably could have done a JavaScript. I should have added that one. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Cool. I'm happy with that.
I've never heard of Logo.
It's look it up.
That one,
it's real.
Not so sure.
It's an Apple programming language. You use the Turtle. Yeah. It was a graphical, graphic thing. Yeah. Okay. All right. Scott, you ready?
I bet there's some listener out there who's like, HTML is not a programming language. It's a markup language or something like that.
It counts.
Anyway, to that listener, I say,
get over yourself.
Get over yourself.
Yeah. Dustin, Sarah. Okay. All right, Scott.
I'll call anyone out. Yes,
you
I'm
ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Yes.
In 30 seconds or 30 seconds, name as many as you can. This is going to be so easy for him, I think.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Military training exercise names. I have a list here that I can kind of check them, and we'll have to trust you as well. Ready?
Whoa, hang on. Exercise in terms of
exercises.
Like physical exercises?
Yes, physical, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you ready? Go.
Yep. Push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups. Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank.
Exactly. This game sucks, doesn't it?
This sucks.
So good.
The one where you carry the log, and I can't think of the name. Let's see. Climbing the ropes.
Yes. I am so happy. That's it. Time's up. You got four. That's awesome.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Because now, the rest of the day, you're going to think of them all.
The music's over, like, they're coming to me.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, whatever.
No. Yeah.
Could have done boot camp in general. You could have done, drills. Yeah.
This is a very hateable game. If you don't hate it.
I was going more specific.
Yeah, I know. Okay. That's good. That's fine. I love it. I'm so happy. Your failure makes me ecstatic.
Jeez.
All right.
So cold.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to. That's not fair. I should ask Adam.
Nope. You're asking Kyle.
Yeah. Ask Kyle. Maybe we could punish Adam with one.
Okay. All right. So since the new year is coming up, I'd like to do a New Year's themed question. What are some of the top New Year's resolutions that people make?
Ready? Go.
Blogging more. Losing weight. Eating better, visiting specific exotic destinations, spending more time with their kids, learning another language, learning to code. Finishing, launching a podcast.
Eight. Eight. I win.
I thought that one was easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was easy. Eight is a high score, actually, in this game.
Yeah, run a marathon, do a triathlon.
I didn't want to do strictly like feats of physical fitness. Okay.
Learn a language. Did you say that one? I don't know if you said that one or not.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Eight. Yeah. Yeah. 12. I'm the winner.
12 is rare. Yeah, that's really high.
That was almost too easy for me.
It would just beat Adam, but
yeah, sorry, man.
Should have just said, you know, count numbers.
Wow. One.
Yeah. Better luck next time.
Right. All right. Kyle, you want to take us out of here?
This has been a fun show. Scott DeLuzio is going to home and have a great New Year's with his family. And we are all going to have an amazing 2020 together. This is the last show of 2019, right?
It is. Yeah, next week's show will have to be our recap show, like to see how we did as far as our predictions, Kyle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So Adam and I are going to jump on episode 115, and we're going to tell you how we did for our 2019 predictions.
Right.
And we're going to also drop some 2020 predictions on you.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. And then we'll probably have some more guests in the future on this program. We're overdue for some of our great companions to join us. We're going to get the band back together, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we know.
And we'll get Scott on again because this has been kind of fun. Scott's a cool guy.
He is.
Liked his answers to the question.
Yep. Nailed it.
I would love to be back, yeah.
So. Anyway, send us more questions. I think we need some more questions for 2020, some good stuff. So listeners, help us out.
Yeah. You can send those questions to questions@getoptionspodcast.com. Use the SpeakPipe functionality feature thingy on the website. You can find us online, Twitter primarily, @get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. Scott, you're over at Scott DeLuzio. It's ScottDeLuzio, correct?
Correct.
And we're on SoundCloud. Yeah. Say goodbye, Commander Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Say goodbye, Scott.
Goodbye, Scott.
Hey, real quick. So, boxers or briefs?
Jeez, such a child. Well, so juvenile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spend all your days with teenage boys. So, yeah. I can tell.
As far as I know, you're still recording, and
this may be a blooper.